Christmas is an interesting feast day because we have four different masses and four different sets of readings and prayers for each of the masses. So this evening, when we were celebrating the vigil masses, the gospel was about the genealogy of Jesus, that long list of all those impossible to pronounce names that sort of traced his way back to David so people would know who he is. Tonight, we have the story of the birth itself and the proclamation to the shepherds. Tomorrow morning's Mass at dawn, we have the shepherds coming to the cave where Jesus was in the stable. And then tomorrow during the day, we have the beginning of the Gospel of St. John, which is kind of the basis of my reflection tonight, because as I was looking through all of these, I thought this is the one that I found kind of most powerful. It's the one that starts, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us," which is to say he was one of us, which is to say he was us. The Word became flesh so that we might become the Word. God speaks this word throughout eternity. It is his expression of love to share himself with anyone who will listen. He was speaking it all along, though we continually sought division and control. Even after Adam and Eve, we never stopped eating the apple in the garden. Tonight, in the fullness of time, God speaks this word of love literally into our being. Becoming us, this word convicts us to be the creation that God intends for us to be from the beginning of the world. But for that to be effective, we must speak that word to others that is spoken to us. Pope Francis constantly speaks about the relationship of dialogue, which is, of course, an exchange of words. There must be one who speaks, and there must be one who listens. Dialogue is always the beginning of a relationship, a sharing in love. We are made in God's image as persons. Persons are made to be in relationship. In his encyclical Fratelli Tutti, he explains that we exist on a most fundamental level as human beings, sharing our nature first as brothers and sisters, and because of that, owing reverence to one another. We speak and form relationships with those who listen. We need to speak. We need to be heard. Otherwise, we are just individuals. And a community isn't made up of a group of individuals who speak nonsense. You aren't a person without another person, any more than you can be a parent without a child, or a brother or sister without a brother or sister. God's Word created us. He looked upon what he created, and it was good. He made us to be in relationship with him and with each other. Our divisions are sins against this plan. Even so, this emphasis on word is something that still divides us today. However, it is not the word that divides us, because only the one who divides is the evil one. Rather, it is our individualistic emphasis on the word that divides. At the time of the Reformation, the Protestant Reformation, the theology of sacraments was still in development. There were schools who interpreted the sacraments differently. Some said there were two, others said there were seven. Some said there were 14. It wasn't actually defined until the Council of Trent, 50 years after the Protestant Reformation. There were schools, particularly the Augustinians and the Dominicans, who developed a conflict among those who wanted to introduce new ideas and those who did not. The conservatives felt that the church was overthinking sacraments at the risk of losing the emphasis on the Word of God. Sola Scriptura was the battle cry of Martin Luther, an Augustinian priest who was the conservative. He said that by Scripture alone we are saved. They held that the Christian Scriptures are the sole infallible source of authority for Christian faith and practice. In reaction to this, our church emphasized sacraments, which also had the unfortunate effect of seeming to de-emphasize the importance of sacred scripture. I remember my mom telling me when she was in high school that they were told by the teachers, Catholic High School, Bishop Hogan in Kansas City, Missouri, they were told by the teachers never to read the Bible because you won't be able to understand it. This was generations that were told this. Well, division takes the wholeness of truth and divides it into opposing factions. We have plenty of evidence of this throughout these past few years, and even today. But the Word becomes flesh, and that Word becomes flesh for a reason. By becoming flesh and offering himself in his humanity back to the Father, Jesus gives us the Eucharist, by which we become his body. You must have both Word and sacrament. Mystical is a word that is often used to describe this body of which we are members, the mystical body. But I think this word is not so helpful, as today more and more people understand it as mythical, the mystical body of Christ. Mythical means somebody made it up. Mystical simply means that it is real, but we can't completely understand it. It resides in the plan of God before everything was made. It is not only for those who feel that they deserve to be members of that body. It includes saints and sinners. No one is to be excluded. That body rests tonight in a manger in a cave in Bethlehem, as well as on this altar at this Mass. In its ultimate consummation, it is the communion of saints in eternity who have yoked themselves to God's Word, the way, the truth, and the life. The error of what has developed over the past 500 years as word versus sacrament is revealed in the manifestation of word made flesh today. As is often the case, it's not a matter of either or, which is the source of division, but both and, which brings communion. The fullness of the mystery must contain both the proclamation and the reception of the word and the offering and reception of the Eucharist. Obviously, this is the Mass, and that's why the Mass matters. It's why we are here. At this Mass, the saving plan of God is both revealed and realized. Eucharistic Prayer 3 includes this beautiful phrase, which I have always found my favorite. Lord, may our participation in this sacrifice of our reconciliation advance the peace and salvation of all the world. God has done the work of the Incarnation, and now he asks you to receive it and proclaim it with your life. It flows from your heart. It warms our cold world. It heals the infinite divisions of our times. It makes the load easy and the burden light. This is what the world is seeking, even if they don't know it right now. And it happens in silence on Christmas night, so that we must make it known at sunrise. I spoke of the saints in heaven who have yoked themselves to God's word. I find this a particularly rich image. Jesus says later, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We look at his public life, his rejection, his ultimate torture and experience of utter abandonment on the cross, which is actually the ultimate experience of depersonalization, which he endures alone. Even as he is born into this cold night in Bethlehem without a place to stay, we wonder how in the world Jesus could describe his experience as easy or light. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph are homeless. Jesus is hunted. They flee to Egypt as refugees, seeking asylum. In the mystery of this night, he puts on our yoke so we aren't alone. Listen, especially if you are in a time of heavy burden or suffering or loneliness, this is important. This is the good news. A yoke exists so that oxen can work together in tandem to plow the field. It keeps them together, equally sharing the same load. Jesus puts our yoke on tonight. He is pulling, asking us to join in his work. To be in the presence of the Lord and to do his work, if we can let go of ourselves a little, is pure joy. It is to know love first for him, but also for each other. This is the amazing thing, that God, who is almighty and everlasting, who created all things and constantly begets his word, his son, the perfect truth, who we could never dare to consider our equal, has today become our brother and is born into our family.